Good morning, Tappers. It is another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Tuesday, April 10th. My apartment did not get raided, just for the record. And we are here to talk to you today. We have a good Tuesday as the Brewers and Bucks both won on Monday night. Definitely a lot to talk about. Probably going Bucks first, then Brewers. And then we'll talk about Trevor Davis being an idiot. I'm a little late on that, but we have to talk a little bit, maybe a little bit of mention of the Milwaukee TV reporter that got arrested too, which is just a hilarious story and one that I'm weirdly taking enjoyment in. I don't know why, but it's just an interesting story. It's a weird one. Anyways, you know where to find us. SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow all of those. Follow one of those. Follow two of those, whatever you're into. SnowTapWI, it is a website. May or may not have broke some news on a new Packer jersey this morning. I'm not sure if I actually did or if I'm overreacting. We'll see. I thought I was last night. Now there's no real noise around it. Who knows? Maybe I'm just blowing smoke up your ass. That's kind of what I do. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you'd like. Hopefully, I've said this before and then I stopped saying it because I didn't do it. I have a little free time, I think, this weekend. So maybe try to get you on Art19, Spotify. We'll see if that's possible. Really, how this weekend works out or how this weekend works out is if the Bucks have an early playoff game, then it pretty much means that I'm going to be drinking early again, and not that I want to drink early. I don't know if I can. We'll see. Right now, the last thing I want to do is touch alcohol. I actually didn't tape last night because my cords were so sore. They feel all right this morning. But yeah, I shouldn't have probably talked to producer Murph on the phone after I drove home from my girlfriend's because my throat was completely exhausted. So glad to be doing this morning before I head back to work and check the copious amount of emails that I got over the last 3 days. All right, let's stop BSing. Let's dive right in to the Milwaukee Bucks. We got a victory 102-86 in the last game, regular season game at the Bradley Center. Eric Bledsoe had a triple-double. Shabazz Muhammad with a 22-point performance. You also had Jabari Parker nearly have a triple-double. Double-double. Chris Middleton also played all right. So the Bucks kind of let the Magic hang around for a little bit. Then they blew him out in the fourth quarter. Kind of similar to what we saw against the New York Knicks on Saturday night. No Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo rested his ankle, missed his second straight game with that ankle injury. We'll see if he plays tomorrow night. So the Milwaukee Bucks did move into the sixth seed as the Miami Heat were blown out by the Oklahoma City Thunder at home. So the Heat now are the seventh seed. It is a crazy down-to-the-wire finish for the Bucks. There are multiple scenarios here at play. And there's a really big Sophie's choice here for the Milwaukee Bucks. They could win on Wednesday night and have to probably play LeBron James in the first round, which makes it a lot harder to advance because you're playing LeBron. I can make arguments that it would be a good thing for the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis in general for the future to play a team like Cleveland. I think the national exposure, I think the overall learning that you get from playing LeBron, I think would be right there. The chance that you would probably make it out of the first round would be very slim, even with Cleveland's poor defense and Milwaukee playing halfway decent against them. So if they lose, they could be anywhere from the 7 to the 8 or even the 6. I mean, even if they lose to Philly, they could still retain the 6, barring all these teams losing. That would be a tough task. That's why that Brooklyn loss is actually really brutal, thinking about it, because if they did beat Brooklyn, they'd have a 2-game lead and they would kind of be dormy on Miami, and they could lose this game and still remain the sixth seed. And I think they would have rested everybody and just taken the sixth seed and let Philly have it. But they can't do that. So they could lose and still play Philly, which I think Philly-Milwaukee would have a lot of national appeal with basically the two young teams. As we've said on this podcast before, it's a rivalry waiting to happen. And so to get it this year would be awesome. I think it would be a shame if Embiid wasn't able to play. I guess there's a chance he could come back from that orbital fracture injury. But I think the Bucks would have a real shot against Philadelphia to advance the second round. Then you have the possibility of Boston. I think Boston's a team that a lot of people want because there's no Kyrie Irving. Terry Rozier's banged up. Marcus Smart will be probably out for most of the first round. They're missing some key cogs. They do have Brad Stevens at the helm, and Brad Stevens is two or three times the better coach than Joe Prunty is. So just because Boston is not full strength, they can definitely beat the Bucks in the first round. There's no question about it. And then the Bucks get the Raptors. I think that's the last team the Bucks want to see. I know the Raptors had some playoff struggles, but this is a different Raptors team. They play the Raptors all right, and they have the history. It's a budding, I guess, rivalry too. But still, I don't really want to see the Bucks as an 8 seed. I know that. And I just don't want to see the 8 seed jokes. I'll be honest. Like, I don't really want to see same old Bucks, because I will say I was very critical of this team down the stretch, and they had some inexplicable losses, but they did play better. They have been playing better basketball. So you do have to give them a little bit of credit. I think we're just all jaded because we've sort of been fed up with this team just from some different things. And it would be very classic for all of us jaded individuals to watch just a crazy playoff run where they get to the second round and have really no business doing it. So we'll see what happens with the Bucks. Really, a lot of this depends on Washington tonight. So if Washington loses to Boston, then all the Bucks can do is a 6 or a 7. And then it's like, you know that. It feels good. I would then rest everybody. I would say, okay, well, Miami's probably going to beat Toronto, who's going to be probably resting everybody. I mean, Toronto did beat Detroit with half their guys rested, which I know Detroit's a little worse than Miami, but impressive nonetheless by the Raptors. So I would probably say, okay, well, maybe Miami does lose this. They are really kind of scuffling. Washington, I mean, Candace Buckner, who's the beat writer for the Washington Post, basically outlined saying the general thought from scouts is that, you know, they're not facilitating. Their best shooter off the bench is in a cold streak. They have general fatigue. So things do not sound well. They're a 6.5-point favorite tonight against Boston. We'll see if the Celtics can get it done. I mean, it would be an amazing win for the Bucks to really get that. And you know it's not going to be easy. I'm very cynical that it's going to come down to whether you really want to play LeBron or not. Because that's the question. You could rest Giannis, and Giannis would basically then have a week off before the playoffs, and we can argue if that's good or bad. I think it's good, just given all the minutes and knowing that he's going to play 40 minutes a game. But yes, there's a lot at stake here. A couple things I want to touch on real quickly, because I think it's worth talking about. Tony Snell's cold streak is definitely a bummer, and definitely something that is worth paying attention to. He needs to get hot at some point. He just needs to get rolling. I hope that Wednesday he can maybe find his stroke again. I think Tony should shoot like 15 times and see if he starts feeling it. But Malcolm Brogdon should replace him in the starting lineup. I don't know if that's going to happen game one. Might be something that happens game three after giving Brogdon some time to kind of recuperate and get better. The Bucks bench situation will be very interesting. We'll see if Shabazz Muhammad gets that spot. Obviously, no Jabari Parker will be there. Tyler Zeller will get some run. Will Baz also be part of that playoff bench? Because they do shorten that bench. You will not see Joe Prunty playing, you know, 10 to 12 guys. And if he does, he's a worse coach than we thought. So Mitch and I will be doing Tabbing the Keg on Wednesday night. As of now, I might talk to Mitch about it. We might go to Thursday just based off of what we have. If we'll figure it out. It could be tight. This is one of those times where the Daily Tap might not be Daily Tap. We may have a special Wednesday edition of the Daily Tap where I do both. I don't know if I can commit to it, but we may do both. We'll see. We'll see what happens. If nothing else, I can recap on Thursday, and we have for Friday's show, and we can do sort of a extended NBA playoff edition. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So Milwaukee Brewers get a win. They bounce back from losing three out of four to Chicago and get themselves a victory on Monday night in St. Louis. It was an interesting game because there was a lot of runs early on. Milwaukee took a lead early. St. Louis got the lead back. Then Milwaukee retook the lead, and it was all done within the first four innings of the game, including a Manny Pena double that put them ahead. Julius Chacin and others kind of held their water. Chacin struggled mightily again. It's not necessarily something I think Brewer fans want to see. I know he's a slow starter, and I asked on the blog this morning, Stone Tap WI, it's a website, if Chacin is basically the Aramis Ramirez of pitching, and that we just have to accept what he is for the first 2 months and then hope he sort of comes back to form as he has in the past in his career. It's tough. I mean, that's tough to watch, but if you kind of know that, it makes it a little easier. But yeah, he couldn't get his control. He was nibbling. He walked three batters. He gave up a few hits. I mean, definitely nothing good came of that start for Chacin. Hopefully he could string one together. We've seen a few. Chase Anderson's been really the only one who we've seen some good starts from. It'd be nice to see Brett Suter figure it out, but you always worry about seeing a team for the second. Well, Suter hasn't seen the Cardinals, so I think Suter actually gets an advantage tonight playing St. Louis. St. Louis does have some guys who are good against lefties, but guys like Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter will definitely be at a disadvantage in this one. And stay with the game. I know that maybe people want to worry about the closers, worry about the closer situation with the Brewers, but I'm not. I think Matt Albers is a guy. Like, I think Matt Albers can sort of be that dude. I love his emotion. I love just sort of his attitude. He's fired up as hell when he makes big plays, and he struggled in that first inning. And no doubt there was some certain nerves going on there that, you know, closing it out is definitely tough. I mean, it's not easy on a guy. He has only two career saves. He had two in Washington last season in his stellar year with the Nationals, but he hasn't had many save opportunities. So being thrown in that role was definitely tough. And we saw it happen with Greg Holland. I mean, it got the best of him. Greg Holland walks four batters, just completely wild. I can't believe that Mike Matheny didn't at least plan for it. It's kind of the continued Mike Matheny's kind of a bad manager. I mean, I had no idea why he didn't actually look into maybe replacing him. And trying to figure out a way to avoid that from happening. But yeah, Holland walks it, and then Council keeps Albers out there, which I absolutely adored. I thought that was the best move of the night. Now, granted, it could have been because they didn't want to see Oliver Drake pitch, but it was really important, I think, for Albers' confidence to say, okay, I didn't get it the first time around, and then you get to close it out. You see his comments in the journal after the game saying, you don't get that chance all the time. It doesn't come around that you get that second inning out of it. So Albers getting that second inning, we'll see if he's available tonight for pitching. It might be another guy. It might be Jacob Barnes, might be Jeremy Jeffries, who didn't really pitch much. He did get out in there, but he didn't pitch much. Josh Hader again is a absolutely stud, and so good to see the Brewers getting a victory. We'll see how they do against Carlos Martinez tonight. We know what Martinez has done against the Brewers in the past, but you're getting to see a guy who you've just faced 5 days ago might be a little more dialed in, and the Brewers may get themselves a victory here. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a high scoring one tonight. Just a thought. I don't know. I know Martinez is really good against the Brewers, but I think this is a good opportunity for Milwaukee. All right, wrapping it up with Trevor Davis being an absolute fucking idiot. Now, I agree that some of my friends kind of said, well, that TSA agent was acting like a hardo. That said, you just do not joke about a bomb on an airplane. Like, there's the scene from Meet the Parents. Oh, you can't say bomb on an airplane. Bomb, 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 bomb. You just don't fucking do that, man. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, I just flew from Vegas to Milwaukee, Milwaukee to Vegas. I would never think about joking at TSA. I just get in, get out, and leave. I had a guy search me down. He felt my nuts, which was weird. But, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to play. And I had nothing on me. I had nothing. I don't know why I triggered it off. I was just wearing joggers and a hoodie. Like, I don't know if it was a drawstring, whatever. But, yeah, they showed some obvious caution, and I respect that. It was not – didn't feel great. It wasn't a great way to start a vacation. But at the same time, you know, it happens. And that's why you're not mentioning that there is a bomb. You're joking about a bomb. You just can't do that. And you just – ah, man, it was so dumb. And I don't know if it's something that will get him kicked off the Green Bay Packer roster. I think it may be a little bit of a slight overreaction. I know people are like, well, fuck him. Like, he obviously has some immaturity to work with. But I will say, I don't think he gets kicked off the team, but it doesn't help him. It does not help his case. He is a guy who's probably on the bubble to start the season, and now he has this working against him compared to, you know, someone else who's fighting for a roster spot who may have a more compelling story and more of a reason to be there. Just can't do dumb shit. Like, that should be a life motto. I mean, granted, it's hard for me to say as someone who did some dumb shit over the weekend in Vegas, but still, you can't necessarily just be an idiot. Like, I guess there's a fine line from doing dumb shit versus being an idiot. Like, some stuff you do that is dumb, like, ah, man, or, you know, it's like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that, and you regret it, and you sort of ponder why it happened. But then when it's something just idiotic, you're like, wow, like, there is no reason for that sort of thing. So I'm not trying to be on Mount Pius. I'm not trying to talk him down, but man, last thing the Packers really just needed, especially on the day where they unveil all this 100-year anniversary stuff, and yet there is still people talking about Trevor Davis making bomb jokes at LAX. Just sort of insensitive too, obviously, with everything going on. And man, just not something you want to see. All right. Well, that about does it. That wraps us up. I apologize if the voice sounded a little raspy, even though I did give the cords a break last night. I definitely can hear that it was a little rough. So if you had to put away with the rasp, hopefully that's gone tomorrow. Hopefully I don't lose my voice before we do Tabbing the Keg later this week. Look for that on Wednesday. Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you guys know that. We will talk tomorrow on the Daily Tap, Tabbing the Keg on Thursday. It's taping Wednesday. Got that in the book. All right, guys, have a good Tuesday. See ya.